May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, when I was first ordained, I was told that wearing your vicar's collar will open many doors. Well, this week, I discovered that this wasn't quite the case when I visited a friend in prison. There are lots of closed doors in Her Majesty's prison system. You are probably pleased to hear this, but it does make life difficult for visitors too. Now, I've only been to prison once before, and this was prior to my ordination, and I was struck by the noticeable need for even more security since I'd last visited. I almost felt like a prisoner myself as I was searched and patted down. There was no smiling or chatting, and my role as a vicar or priest meant nothing in this environment. It wasn't a particularly nice experience, if I'm honest, and I even watched with horror as a boy of about 5 was also searched and patted down. I wondered what our society had become that we even had to be cautious of small children in case an adult had incriminated them in some way. Prisons are places that take away not just our freedom, but also our sense of self and dignity. Of course, I'm not suggesting that prisons are not necessary or important for our safety and to help those who have made mistakes. It's simply not a good place to be in, as it takes away more than just simply our freedom. But this made me think about our faith and how we can make it either a prison for ourselves and others, or a way to full freedom in Christ through belief in Jesus, God's Son. In today's gospel story that Jenny's just read, we heard about Jesus when he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman with a spirit that had crippled her, and she was bowed, and could not lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he laid his hand on her, and immediately, we hear, she was made straight, and praise God. However, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. How dare he? And he said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." What a thing to say. Well, the leader of the synagogue had made his faith, or his religion, a prison. It had become a closed cell, much like the ones I visited last week. If you impose harsh rules that actually restrict God's love, then your faith becomes worthless. Jesus rebukes the leader, and all leaders, because they do or say things when it suits them. Jesus uses the example of taking a donkey or ox to water on the Sabbath. This is a job that you must do. He demonstrates that certain things have to be done to give life. Jesus' perspective on the Sabbath as a day for deliverance is vindicated by the humiliation of Jesus' opponents and the joy of the crowds at his wonderful healing deeds. Although we do not hear about the woman who had been healed at the end of the passage, the praise she offers to God reverberates amongst the crowds, rejoicing. Both themes of praise and rejoicing are emphasised by Luke as appropriate responses to God's work in Jesus, as the one who brings the reign of God in healing power to those who need it. Now, our faith should be something that frees us. It should free us to do the work of God in the world. It should also free us to experience life in all its glory. As I moved around the prison last week, I noted how we were herded through different sections, and a door was locked and then a new one was opened. This is a good metaphor for the kingdom of God. Our lives do not always go as we expect or even as we deserve, for better or for worse. The woman Jesus healed was locked into this difficult life of pain and physical hardship for an unbelievable 18 years.
until Jesus healed her. Then a new door was opened for her. And this was what was important, not that the healing was done on the Sabbath. Now, the other reading we could have had today was from Hebrews. And Hebrews tells us that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, this is a kingdom worth pursuing as it leads to everlasting life and true freedom from death and sin. This is a kingdom that we are receiving even now, due to the living and new way that God has opened up for us through Jesus Christ. Now that awareness should lead to joy and thankfulness because we participate in what God is doing here on earth. And through our participation, we may worship God anew with reverence and awe, knowing that God is a consuming fire who burns away all the things that separate us from him. Well, how can we, though, avoid a prison that is frequently of our own making and does separate us from God? Well, our worship is one thing that can help, both private and public. So here in church today, we are preparing for our life in the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing this morning at St. Peter's. For as we worship the kingdom of God, here, it breaks open for us here on earth. Heaven becomes here on earth through our worship. And such worship does not foster fear. It doesn't isolate us from God, but it brings us closer to him. Instead, it provides access to God and celebratory participation in community. We are one community. We are the family of God. Worship connects us with God, with angels, and with all the saints past and present. And we are a great cloud of witnesses. So what can our worship look like? Well as coming to church, of course, our worship includes prayer. And I believe that prayer can help free us from the bondage of sin in our lives. It can open the door. Jesus has taught us many ways to pray, but probably the best is the example of the Lord's Prayer that we looked at our last family service. But still often we find prayer hard to do. How do we unlock the door to prayer? Many people say that prayer shouldn't just be about asking God for what we want, but it should be about giving thanks too. This is the essence of powerful prayer, to thank God for all he has done, to offer worship and to show reverence and awe. There is no selfish desire here, but rather a need to have an outpouring of love towards God. To pray is to encounter God. That's what we do when we pray in church. We hear God's voice and we hope to be transformed. True prayer does not leave us as we are, at ease with our illusions of our own power and significance. Rather, it makes us more aware of the mortality of all human life. As we bow in awe at the permanence, might and splendour of our God, who is a consuming fire. This truly is freedom, and no prison can take that away from us. Amen.